the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriu.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And we're back after a bit of a break for our year-end best and favorites of the year. Let's bring our guests right into it, Brandi.
Yes.
And then we'll jump into it. We're doing something a little bit different this year. We have two guests, two of our most often returning guests, two of our favorites. We have Darren Karp and Christian Banda. Welcome.
Yo, thanks for having me back. I miss doing this. I think I said this last time. It hasn't changed. I'm generally just talking to myself about television. So to have people, respond back is nice.
Yeah. Well, yes. Christian, we had you on the year end last year. And then Derek we had on most recently as kind of like a half year. So we just figured let's throw everyone together into a mix. And we're going to do the first ever end of year TV BFFs draft. So we're going to each be drafting a slate of shows here. A mix between best and favorites. We'll get into some of the particulars, but first off, kind of a weird year in TV, guys. Like,
very weird.
What happened?
Yeah. A couple labor strikes.
It's been a lot.
It's been a weird year. There was a weird slump in the middle of the year where just a lot of shows just, it felt like there was a weird kind of like dip in new content. I myself went back to something that Christian, you inspired me to do. I watched a lot of old school Survivor.
Hell yeah.
That like really classic run of like, you know, Pearl Islands, Cook Islands, China, Token Chains.
Hell yeah. The early teens.
Heroes versus villains. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. Like New Survivor just can't hack it compared. It just can't.
I still fuck with New Survivor, but that like nothing's going to touch, you know, the Aussie introduction, you know, with the poverty introduction.
Yeah.
Those are some badasses. So
Parvati was good. And the one that the season that they did where it was all the winners was a really good season. I watched that season like on a plane and that was awesome. They had like 20 winners of the first 20 seasons. It was so good.
Hell yeah. Winners at War.
Winners at War. Yeah. Season 40. That's right. It was really good.
I love Survivor.
I got halfway there. I got through season 20, but those seasons will not be eligible. So here's the way it's going to work today. So we're doing a 2023 TV draft. We'll get to the draft order in a minute. It will be a snake draft, so we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, kind of up and down the draft. We each have 5 slots to fill. Of those 5 slots, 2 of those you should label as best of the year, 2 you should label as favorite of the year, and then the 5th is up to you. It can be a best, it can be a favorite. We're not doing any genre restrictions like we do with guests sometimes, so if you want to go all dramas, all comedies, all unscripteds, that's your prerogative. The main rule is once a show is selected, it is off the board for everybody else. Oh, and then the other thing is if there's a show, like for instance, Survivor aired both seasons 44 and 45 this year. So if someone were to draft season 45, somebody else could draft season 44. So you're drafting a season of television.
Okay. And it could be, what if like half episodes premiered in 2022, but the other half premiered in 2023? All that matters is an episode aired in 2023, right?
Great question. Yes. And a new episode must have aired this year, even if it was just the last episode or two. If it premiered in the calendar year, you're safe to pick that season. That's right.
Can I just get a poll of how many of you like randomly Google search the shows in 2023, because I feel like binging and watching things on your own schedule changes like when things came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. I raised my hand. I was like, you know what? Let me look at a wide variety of things. So I was like, I'm going to look at Deadline. And then, you know what? Let me check out GQ.
Yes.
You know what? Let's see what People Magazine has to say. I want to just cover all my bases.
Okay, cool.
So let's get into the draft order. So here's what I've done. I have 4 pieces of paper. They're all folded up really tiny. They each have a number on it, 1 through 4. I'm going to put them in this hat, which I think is very appropriate. It says, I am the oldest boy, Kendall Roy hat. And I think we'll let our guests go first. So we'll pick for Darren. We'll pick for Christian. Then I'll pick for Brandi. And then whatever is left is what I'll take. And basically, when it's your pick, the number that comes out is your draft order. Make sense and sound fair to everybody?
Sounds lovely.
Perfect. All right. So right now I'm picking for Darren. Oop. Not looking.
Mm-hmm.
whatever you pick, it's going to be a scam and a fraud, and I'm going to want to recount.
Darren is number three. Darren is number three.
Uh-huh. Fraud. Cheating.
All right, we're now picking for Christian.
Come on, baby.
Is he the eldest boy? Let's find out. He is number two.
Okay, two's my favorite number, too.
Two's a good number. Right. Two's a good number.
Brandy, this is high stakes. One of us is first, one of us is last.
This is really high stakes. I'm nervous.
This is for your entire future. This is your everything hinges in this.
Brandy, this is your pick.
Oh my God, Brandy, don't fuck this up.
The number one pick in the draft goes to Brandy Crawford. So now you know it's not rigged because I'm drafting fourth. There you have it. All right. So without any further ado, Brandy, you got the first choice in the 2023 best and favorite TV BFFs draft. What are you going with?
All right. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going with Succession. Yeah, obviously. It's the number one draft pick. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Was this on everybody's draft board? It was certainly on mine.
Of course.
It was not on mine. It was not on mine.
Oh, I love that. I love that movie.
Really?
Because the second half of season four, in my opinion, falters a little bit. I was probably one of those people that, you know, was a little disappointed in the series finale, which is, you know, the hardest plane to land in the biz.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I thought it was a little rote and on the nose for such, like, I don't know, a show that had multiple interpretations and numerous themes weaving in throughout. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought, I don't know, I didn't feel as much nuance with the conclusion as I would have hoped.
Yeah.
So I respect it not being on your list, Darren, but it's fucking Succession. Great pick.
It's fucking Succession.
Yeah. It not being on my list has nothing to do about Succession and everything just to do about sort of my taste and like the shit that I get really excited for. Mm-hmm. But like, I love Succession and I appreciate it as a good show and just like being in the industry. It's like, yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through this, guys. We're going to try not to spoil. If it can't be avoided, we'll throw out a warning. Mm. But I feel like, to your point, Christian, like this season started so strong. There was that third episode, and that's, if you've seen it, that's all you need to, you know what happened in the third episode. So mm-hmm. It reached like its height almost maybe too early. Did this season peak too soon? It would have probably been, if I picked it, it would have been in a best category. Brandy, where are you putting it?
I'm putting it in a best. And I also am going to be on the opposite side of the table with you guys with the conclusion of season four. Because like what I love about Succession is just seeing like rich white people do crazy shit. And like it just delivered on all fronts for me. Just mm-hmm. the whole way through.
I mean, to be fair, we don't have this hat without the finale.
Yeah,
so. I might need to borrow that from you for a couple weeks. Let the loss.
It could
down.
Be like half crossed out, half underlined.
Yes.
really make it. You know?
That's a beautiful merch idea.
That should be on the back. The fact that it doesn't say Kendall like, with half a line through on the back.
Yeah, that would be great. That's excellent.
Christian, you're up. What's your first pick?
Great pick, Brandy, and you know, let it rip. I'm going to pick The Bear for best.
No.
Yeah. You knew it was coming.
I was between that and Succession. And I was like, I know. You know, I feel like
there's great number ones out there still, but I had to nab up Carmi and the Boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that that's the best food shot program I've seen in a while. Like, it's just beautifully done. I feel like just the way that they have the knife angles and the food angles, it's amazing.
Of course, but you know what's funny about that show? The food, while looking beautiful, rarely looks appetizing in a way. Mm. And it's maybe because you see all of the bullshit they have to get through to make that dish,
right?
And it really makes you realize. I've worked in service before. It just, the whole thing is so fucking absurd. Like, these people are killing themselves. So someone be like, that's a good meal. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Just the whole industry, like, you know, the militarization of the kitchen itself and, you know, having that assembly line all for, you know, someone to have a morsel. But without spoiling, there's my favorite episode, episode 7 of season 2, explains why that's such a special process.
And that's forks, right?
That's forks. Yeah, I didn't want to, you know.
I want to spend a little bit of time here because this was my top. This could have been a best of favorite.
Yeah.
It might be a future forever. I really, really like the show. It was the inspiration for one of the biggest unscripted projects that I'm working on this year. So like, I've been thinking about the show all year long. And the conversation is often, okay, which episode do you ride with? Are you a fishes person? Are you a forks? Are you, I forget the Marcus Amsterdam episode.
Oh,
are
he's
you,
in Denmark. Mm-hmm. Denmark, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you, you know, the opening, the finale that almost felt like a two-parter with Omelette and then the bear. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think Forks, though, is my favorite of the season. That Richie episode really did something special.
I watched Forks four times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I seen that episode four times and it hit every time. And like, I'd stumble over to the bar and just get a little high and like, let's put on Forks again.
Yeah.
seeing the ascent of Richie and into like, you know, the man you always knew he could be and was fighting to be was like a superhero origin story in a way, especially for the rest of the season. Yeah, The Bear's the best show I've seen this year personally. I probably was going to pick it over Succession, to be honest.
I would have as well.
Yeah. So I'm happy with my pick and I can't wait to kick y'all's asses.
Oh, okay. With that, Darren, it is your pick.
I'm going to go with the one that I feel like I would probably have the most crossover with you guys in terms of just something that's never been done before. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was hilarious. I think about the show the most is Jury Duty.
Nice.
Good. Yeah. Had to have been on there for most people. I feel like anyone that's into television would have at least appreciated the show and just the way it was done. Funnily enough, you guys have all seen it, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely.
So like, 2 months after it came out and I had watched it, Andy had to serve jury duty. And he's like texting me and he's like, oh, I'm sitting there. I was like, do you want me to hire paparazzi to come by and like get you out of there? He's like, I'm on the brink. Baby. And I was like, that would be so funny. It's like actual assistant hires paparazzi. Like, but I thought this was great. I mean, I think it kind of goes without saying the concept alone was so well done. They found the perfect hero. I think he has like an overall now at Amazon Prime.
Ronald.
It blows my mind. It just goes to show the state of television, but like,
yeah, a mess.
I know, but the guy's so charming that it's like, good for you. Like, he handled it so well. You know, the thought of kind of being the butt of a joke and believing something that other people in the room, you know, were tricking on you was kind of almost my worst nightmare. And he just handled it with such grace. It was like, oh, the world is kind of good in a way.
No, he made you believe in humanity again. It's like, he's a good guy. He made every choice he had to make was the absolutely right one.
Like, James Morrison took like a huge dump in the bathroom and he's just like sitting right there and I'm like, oh my god, I love you.
He's like, yeah, dude, I got you. I love Sonic. Chop it up.
We are Ronald and Ronald is us.
I'm working on a short film right now. Can I name drop it real quick?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I'm working on a short film, executive produced by Roy Wood Jr. and written by my boy Niles Abston, a comedian out in LA. Roy Wood Jr., formerly of The Daily Show, the best dude. I consider him a mentor. And Niles went out and did a set one night, and who was there but Ronald in the audience? So Niles was like, hey, Jury Duty. He's like, bro, you were great. So they had this pic together. I tagged Ronald on Instagram. I was like, he fucks with our shit. And Ronald shared it and DM'd me. He's like, yo, your boy's really funny. Can't wait to see this. And now we're Instagram buddies and we DM sometime. Me and Ronald.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And I'm like, you actually are this sweet. Wow.
I love that.
It's amazing. But shout out Ronald, Jury Duty. Great, great pick.
Yeah.
That's a great pick.
Yeah.
That was definitely on my list.
I mean, where are you putting it? Is a best or a favorite?
Jury Duty is going to go as a best for me. I think it was just very well, very well done. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got the snake.
Off to a strong start. Succession, The Bear, and Jury Duty were definitely three in contention for me. I would have picked Jury Duty in a favorite, but I'm gonna go with four bests in a row. Let's start on theme here.
Well, I'm scared.
I'm gonna go with The Last of Us.
I knew someone had to say it.
Okay.
Yep. Right. Yep. And this wasn't at the top of my list, but I think that there are a few episodes that
Episode three are
just the best episodes I've seen this year and maybe in the last 5 years. And long time, episode three was absolutely one of them. I love the Harry, Henry and Sam, episode five.
It's the Nick Offerman, right?
Murray Bartlett is episode three. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the early part of that season was much stronger than the back half of that season. So it wasn't at the top of my list, but like altogether to be a video game adaptation, to do like a lone wolf and cub thing, which we've seen a bunch recently with Mandalorian, but make it feel new and different and interesting, to be a zombie show that never says the word zombies and it isn't really about the zombies at all. It's about the people. Like, it was just really, really class TV. So I think I got to put it in the best.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think long time actually made like on my, made it to my Spotify Wrapped. because I just like, so it's like Kanye, Beyonce, Linda Ronstadt, or whoever. So, yeah. And I'm just like, ah, oh, it's a great ass song.
Yeah.
I loved that episode specifically, and I would have put it on my list had it not been. And I want to hear your guys' take on this. Just real quick. Have you guys played the game?
I have not. No.
Yeah. I'm not too much of a gamer myself, but I will whoop your ass in Mario Kart.
We just got it for the kids.
Oh, really? I'm gonna come over and make them cry. Let's go. All that to say is a lot of gamers online were, it was like, it was a pretty stick to the book adaptation in a way. Mm-hmm. That made me go, oh, I could see how if you played this game for hours and hours to just see it, you know, televised, might be a little boring for you. But as someone who didn't play the game, I was enraptured in the show, and I loved being in that terrifying world.
Yeah,
I was very surprised that I liked it, because it's like I was in with The Walking Dead for like the first season, and then like I was kind of done by like the second episode of season two. And so with this one, I was like, oh, I'm not really like, I don't really need to do zombies. Mm-hmm. But I was hooked from the first episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But I was surprised how much I liked it, and like how much I just love Pedro Pascal. I think that Malone looks like a baby version of Pedro Pascal.
I mean, that's not surprising. The man's beautiful.
Yeah, everyone loves him.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm like, I thank you for being in my life. I appreciate this.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
And shout out Bella Ramsey. I mean, just
yeah, her, for sure.
Just
yeah,
deliver the Emmy to her house so she doesn't have to go to the ceremony. Like, it's
a, yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm not usually a fan of that genre, but I watched it because, like Game of Thrones, it was like everyone was watching it, and I just needed to like understand what people were talking about. I really liked it. I watched every single fucking goddamn moment of The Walking Dead begrudgingly, because I just wanted to see how the hell they were going to end it after, you know, 14 seasons. So maybe I had been zombied out, but I did really appreciate it. I thought it was well done. And for someone who watched 100 million hours, I thought The Last of Us gave something refreshing and like kind of scary again, which was cool.
Yeah,
it was scary.
Yeah. I'm not a big horror guy, but I
me neither.
This was cool for me.
But you're like on the edge of your seat a little bit, and I like
very
that.
Thrilling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. I've been letting this play out because I have no idea what I'm going to choose next.
Uh-huh.
We got a lot of picks before it comes back to me. I'm nervous some things won't be on the board. I'm trying to play the competitors here as much as the game.
Let's
like,
go.
I'm choosing between three unscripted shows. I think we need a little bit of unscripted representation here.
You're going to have some.
You come
to the way. So, and I'm like, I don't know if all three, if maybe any of these three will be around when it comes back to me. Considering
I only have one scripted show on my list.
They're all unscripted? Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Unless you count Jury Duty, which is ish, you know.
Listen, I know that the one that I really need to take, because it was such a huge moment, I think, in competition reality. It has spawned a second season with, I think, the best reality TV trailer that I've seen all year, personally. It had some survivor representation to it, and it had one of the best host turns of any reality show that I've seen in a long, long time. I'm choosing The Traitors with my second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be a favorite.
Can you pitch Traitors to me? I hate to interrupt. I just
no, absolutely.
Yeah. Please.
How much do you know?
I just know that one. It's kind of like the mole in that
yes,
one person.
It's like murder mystery mole.
Basically, like 20 people show up, and three of them are named traitors on day one, and their identities are secret. They share with each other, but you can't share with anybody else. And every single night, the traitors kill somebody and eliminate someone from the house. So every morning, someone doesn't come down to breakfast. But then every evening, the house, including the traitors, needs to vote to banish someone to try and oust the traitors. If any traitor makes it to the end, they take home all the money. If the faithful, which are the house guests, the housemates, if they eliminate all the traitors by the end, then they split the money.
That's a great pitch. I'm so in. I'm going to give it a spin for sure.
Oh, give it a spin.
You should give it a spin. So fun.
It's so,
I gave it a spin.
Fun.
I enjoyed.
And season two is coming out in January, and you should watch that because it's all going to be like pretty much famous people, not regulars and famous people. So that makes it even more interesting.
Yeah. Isn't Parv in this?
Parv is in the next one. Sand is going to be in this next one.
I gotta see my girl. Yeah.
Johnny Bananas is in the next one if you need a challenge.
There's a bunch of housewives.
by the way, and Christian, I don't know your affinity for the challenge, but I do know Dan and Brandy's affinity. And I have to do an Amex event for the traders, and Johnny Bananas is going to be there.
Well, so, yeah.
So very exciting. Very exciting.
I was an AP for the Dirty 30 finale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So, good season.
We did a behind the scenes like thing that I don't even know saw the light of day, but I saw all these motherfuckers in the dressing room in their element. And, you know, really going at it. Like, there's people they don't fucking like. And we had to, like, separate people. Like,
you know,
I'm like, yeah, it was badass. But I grew up watching Real World and The Challenge. I've since recently fallen off. But, yeah, respect.
All right. So now it goes back up to Darren.
Okay. Mine is going to be, I'm actually torn kind of between two. So I'm going to have to see how the rest of these picks lay out so I can have some backup. But mine is actually a true crime doc that first aired on Discovery, but HBO Max like repopulated it and re-aired it, which is how most people watched it this year. It's called The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. If you don't know the
tell me all about it.
Story, if you ever saw on the news about a female who, like, it's hard to describe it without like giving anything away, a female orphan who suffered from dwarfism amongst other developmental issues, okay, and was sort of pitched to be this murderer, you know, at literally like 3 feet tall. And the idea is, if she's 8 years old, or is she 23 years old? And it's a 6-part series based on her adoption from her parents. We don't hear from her, but ID is actually coming out with her response. Natalia's in January. This one chronicles her parents and the suffering, and it raises very good intellectual questions. And still, after 6 episodes, I'm not even 100% sure whether or not she's 8 or whether she's 23.
Wow.
And it's really good, and I highly recommend.
I'm writing it down.
Hell of a sell.
For a true crime connoisseur such as yourself,
yes,
for this to be the top true crime piece of programming to pick speaks volumes.
And it's going to go as my best, just because I think it was well done. And I think it was one of the better quality docs I have seen in a while, and an mm-hmm. interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Amazing. I'm yeah. in.
I want to watch that.
I've been on my like murder mystery. Oh, I mean the cult shit.
Cult. And we were texting about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Love is One was great. You got to watch Love is One.
Believe me, I watched Love is One.
Oh yeah, and I couldn't eat.
I was like, I need a silver burrito.
No one's picking Twin Flames on this draft, are they?
No.
We're going to have something to chat about. Oh,
okay. All right.
I want to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
I listened to the podcast.
If I had to pick a least favorite, that'd be in the running. I'll tell you that much.
Wow. Yeah. I was surprised that it was, after listening to the podcast, I was surprised that it was going to be a show.
Yeah.
Like, guys, they don't always have to be shows.
And the guys, he's still on Instagram and he has like 2,200 followers. I'm like, you are a shitty cult leader.
Yeah.
2,000 followers. Come on, bro. Anyway,
Christian, we'll roll right into you. You're next.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm coming for blood. All right.
Yes, let's go.
This is going to be a best pick.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to go with Beef.
Great.
Oh, Beef was good. Beef was good.
Yeah.
It was on my list, but it wasn't bolded on my list. But it was like of the great things that I saw this year.
Yeah.
It's a good intellectual take on like aggression and anger and how it like plays out and culturally as well.
Of course. And how it's never about the moment of aggression as much as it's about what you're going through outside of the moment that informs when or will you not snap. And yeah, the classist dichotomy between Allie and oh my God, why am I forgetting my boy's name? Glenn from Walking Dead.
Oh, Steven Yeun.
Yeah. Yes. Between Steven Yeun and Allie, and you know, the fact that the frenemies to maybe lovers arc. I don't want to. Ooh, I'm trying not to spoil.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen anything like that before. And it was so relatable because I mean, raise your hand if you've had a moment where you're like, fuck that car.
I have that feeling right now.
I don't even own a car. You don't even have to be in a car to have that feeling.
Fuck these friends of mine. Fuck people.
Steven Yeun is a master at his craft. And to see Ali Wong meet him where he was and like sometimes steal the scene from him was like an incredible dueling of the fates, so to speak. And I loved it. I rewatched it twice, the whole series.
Wow. Okay.
And I have a feeling it's going to do pretty damn well with awards. It already is starting to. So Beef is my pick.
Brandy, back to you.
All right. My next pick is a show that I had to go back and check and make sure that it was this year, but it was this year and it ended this year. And I just thought it was so good. Dead to Me.
Whoa.
Great. That was a good one. That was a good one. They're great actresses. You know?
Great actresses. Like, I was completely surprised. Like, the show always surprised me. I loved that it was, I don't know, like, it felt like a little bit old school in that way that, like, every episode ended on a cliffhanger. So it was just like, all right, well, I guess we're finishing this series tonight.
Right. Right.
But also just, like, Christina Applegate is just, she's magnificent. And, like, knowing that this was, like, her last role and, like, what kind of she was going through behind the scenes, like, and that she still brought what she brought, it's, like, it was really, really great. And it, the ending, I felt that they completely landed the plane, and I was a mess, guys. I was a mess. So so and that goes for me in I think in my best.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of bests. I love it.
A lot of bests.
Brandy, you get another one. You get two back to back.
Oh, so my next one is definitely my favorite. I'm between
you got this.
I think that I gotta go with my first favorite. Is Vanderpump Rules.
I knew. Wow. I had to mention this. Thank you.
There it
That's
is.
That's a wonderful pick considering how much of a chokehold it had on culture.
Yeah.
And I don't even watch the show.
To pick Vanderpump at number 9 feels like a steal with this group. I got it. That's pretty good.
It had to, you know how the Golden Globes had that new category of like blockbuster pictures that essentially brought back. This is like what VPR did for reality TV of like people mildly respecting it. It was that moment, I think, for them. Yeah.
It just, I mean, it delivered on so many levels. I loved that it was really just like, it was everywhere.
Right. Like my mom asked me who that was.
Yeah. Like I was just like, wow. Like it had been, I feel like it had really been a while since like I'd really like lived through a cultural moment. You know what I mean? And like recognizing it as such, like while I'm in it. Like, it's like, I remember where I was that Friday in March when the news dropped.
Yeah.
It's reality September 11th. I mean, it was big.
It was big.
We'll all remember where we were.
Well, and you know what? I feel like because Bravo ended, like, they turned that show around in such an amazing way after that happened.
Yeah.
And they set the bar for what reality should be. And I do feel like everything that they've come out with since, I'm just like, wow, you guys are really firing on all cylinders. There's some things that I'm like, all right, what's happening here? Like that's like Potomac. Come on. No, it's not happening right now.
Okay.
But like
Brandy, my favorite housewives.
It's, I don't know, like the NECA and Wendy stuff is just like,
oh, well that annoys me. Candace will always be my girl.
Candace is everything. And like, honestly, the Candace and Robin thing, it's like, Candace, like, how can you expect her to be into you? Like, did you hear what you said about her?
But Candace is just like bawling. I love it. Yeah. Anyway, I love it.
But I do feel like, but just in all of the other reality that I've been watching, like, I feel like everybody's really been upping their game because they're like, all right, like, this is what, like, Vanderpump, this season of Vanderpump showed what reality TV can do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to watch all the time now.
Yeah.
To your point, Brandy, like, I don't watch either program, but I, you know, for example, I tuned in for that 3-part reunion, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, yeah. I was like flipping.
We're going to make it a 3-parter if we can do it.
Yeah. I was flipping between like the NBA playoffs and like, oh, I wonder what this motherfucker is going to say right now. I'm like, I don't watch the show.
Yeah.
That's how much it was in the water. And even Potomac. Like, I don't watch any Potomac, but I know that two Nigerians are going after it and one is accusing them of witchcraft.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. So to your point, that's what reality TV can do. I don't watch this shit, but it's everywhere I look. And that is commendable.
Yeah. All right. So Christian's up.
Mm-hmm.
Christian's next.
All right. So my two bests are off the board. Let me just look at my notes real quick for reference.
You have room for one more. Remember, you only need two favorites. So your fifth can be either or.
Oh, correct. All right, but I'm going to mix it up, you know?
Yeah,
just,
there you go.
I'm just not being such a snob with all the prestige picks. And I'm going to get down to, honestly, it's tough. That's probably my favorite show of the year. I don't know if this will change when I think about it in a week or so, but I've never seen anything like it. I'm so glad I watched it. And I'm going to pick How To with John Wilson.
Yes.
That's a great pick. Great pick.
Stole Thank that you. Right out from underneath.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, bud.
Is it because I didn't text you after I watched the finale? Is that why?
You were a little late, so yeah, I held this against you. Yeah. For example, the series finale is one of my favorite TV watching experiences ever. Okay. I have a friend that I've worked with that did some camera work on the she was a staff camera. I don't know what position she was, but anyway, she shot the show, and I called her in tears and was like, that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And like, I had like a mini meltdown on the phone with her, and she's like, oh, thank you. And I'm just like, yeah, no problem. Talk to you later. John Wilson's a genius, in my opinion. And what he's able to do with New York as a character, quote unquote, I hate that verbiage, but it's true. But it's the character in New York when you're walking down the street and you see something out of your periphery and you speed up. He makes you sit in those moments of that hidden dimension of New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of the great documentarian pieces of a city that's been, you know, examined, documented, and torn to shreds time and time again. I've never seen New York in this way. He's an incredible interviewer. He's nailed his style. His, you know, his existentialist crises, especially with that series finale. I won't spoil anything because I need people to see that shit for the first time.
Yeah.
It's nutso. I am just in love with that show, what he made me feel, the spectrum of what he made me feel. And I appreciate it so much. And yeah, favorite show. That's my pick.
It's a great pick. Overall, great pick. I think it's such a smart, observational, as a Jerry Seinfeld fan and also a New Yorker, I remember Comedians in Cars getting coffee between Jerry Seinfeld and Bill Maher. And Bill Maher's like, and I just moved to LA, so this might be particularly more like sentimental to me, but Bill Maher's like, you gotta move to LA, Jerry. Like, come on, like Larry David, too, you gotta move to LA. And Jerry's like, nothing in LA is funny. Everything in New York is funny. And like, John Wilson is like a testament to that. Mm-hmm. He just makes it fucking funny because it's fucking funny. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Funny, but also like in that very human way. Like, I'm not sure I should be laughing at this, but I'm gonna because I felt that feeling, or I've been in that situation, or I've seen that thing. And I also like that it's like an interesting extension of the Nathan Fielder brand, because he's an EP on that, but it doesn't feel weird or awkward or gross or any of the things.
It's definitely all of those things too, though, Dave.
It is, but not in that like uncomfortable way, really, for me anyway. It feels joyous. It feels celebratory.
There's a wholesomeness about it that he's able to harness.
I'm not cringing when I watch the vacuum cleaner party that the convention.
Oh my god, I am cringing because like that would be like my dad or something.
<you know? laughs> I love that show so much. If you're listening and haven't watched that show,
you need to.
Yeah, get in there. It's definitely a lot more different than most things people have seen, but I swear to God, it's worth it.
So, yeah,
I mean, that's a 4 out of 4 from all of us. Like, high recommendation for sure. Man, just taking shows off my board. Darren, you're up next.
Sorry, bud.
Do your worst.
My favorite now, because I think I've named two bests at this point. Is that right, Dan?
Yes, you have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my favorite at this point is a show that my mom told me about, which rarely happens. I feel like I'm the one influencing her.
Whoa.
I've only watched a few shows on this network, and the ones that I have watched I thought were very good, although it's not my go-to. This is my only scripted show, and it is Silo on Apple TV.
You absolute stone cold bitch. I was positive that would last until the end. Are you kidding me?
Guys, what? I feel like I've seen Silo in the banner.
You need to see it.
Oh.
Sorry,
comedy,
Dan.
Drama, like kind of.
No, wait, no,
what's an elevator
pitch? It's a drama.
Well, there ain't nothing
thriller.
Funny about that show.
It's like 180,000 people. They all live in a silo.
Okay.
They don't know why. They've lived in it for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands of floors or whatever. And they only know that the outside, they can't go out there because it's dangerous. and they don't know why.
It's toxic. The air will kill you.
Yeah, they are running a society in this silo, but no one knows why they're in there.
Yeah.
That's the pitch. It's
post-apocalyptic. It's giving a little bit of Station 11 meets like Justified, because there's a really cool murder mystery in the middle of it.
Who's the main actress in that, Dan?
Rebecca Ferguson.
She's a babe.
Yeah.
Ow, ow! I was about to say. Total babe.
Yeah.
Total babe. Tim Robbins is in it. Tim Robbins is great.
Freaking Common is in it and is great. Yeah.
I love when Common pops up.
Common, I know. Right?
Like, oh, it's like, boy, he'll get back in the booth, but he's actually like a solid actor.
He's good. He's,
the belly. He's good.
I actually, I can't believe you fucking
I'm sorry.
This. It's okay. Yeah. Oh. At least, hey, we're celebrating it. At least it's on the list. That's all I can ask for.
Wait, Dan, I have a question. Can we see where everyone's at with their shows real quick? Can you get a status update?
Yeah, let me pick my next one, and then we'll be through three rounds.
Sure.
And we'll do a little check-in.
Okay.
But yeah. Everybody watch Silo. It's really good. And you're right. Apple is like, they don't miss often.
It's selective, but when they hit, they hit.
Their hit rate is pretty good.
Yeah, and it's original fucking programming, which is hard to pump out at the clip that they do. I mean, I guess when you have all the money in heaven and earth, it's probably a little easier, as Apple does.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm constantly surprised by the diversity of their product. And their content.
I think they have a better slate than like Amazon Prime, which also has more money than God as well. So like, I just feel like Apple is like, they got it kind of nailed down in the content arena. I feel like it's just selective and not a lot. It's not like a Netflix or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I fell off of Silo, and this is going to make me watch a couple more.
Get back into it for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Get back into it.
I'm watching.
Okay, good. You should.
We're going to stick on the Apple train, and I'm going to pick a comedy. I really, really enjoyed. I think this show was so good because Bill Lawrence moved over from running Ted Lasso and that show took a dive so that my pick, Shrinking, could soar. Really, really enjoyed Shrinking. I mean, Jason Segel's good, but like Jessica Williams and Harrison Ford and the best friend character, I forget the actor's name, they were great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It had this nice little effect of just kind of like, you know, mainstreaming therapy for hopefully a lot of people who just kind of like clicked into it and were curious and were like, oh, wow, that's maybe not so scary. I'll give that a shot, which is always fun. And I just laughed so much. I cried a lot. It made me feel more than most things I watched this year. Really, really, really love a Bill Lawrence first season. And this was no exception. Shrinking.
Yeah.
For sure.
I thoroughly liked it, except watching it, my girlfriend like would. She has ADHD and would like fixate on things. And she just kept fixating on Krista Miller, who's like the next door neighbor best friend to Jason Segel, who's married to Bill Lawrence in real life.
She's abnormally
large chin. And every time she would come on, Nadine would be like, her chin. How could that be? But like, look at her chin. Oh my God, her chin. And I was like, Nadine, can I watch the show? it's not my chin, you know? And so I could have enjoyed it a lot more if she wasn't obsessed with this freaking chin.
She sounds just like my mom, who my sister and I also believe has undiagnosed adult ADHD.
Yeah.
Like, she'll wander into the room, look at the show and be like, oh, she's had work done, and then just leave. And I just won't see her for 3 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I watched Naked Attraction the other day, which is not a new show, but Nadine came in and she was just like, five penises, and then like walked out. And I was like, she's coming in for the color commentary.
Oh, you know, I'm trying to get a beer with you and your squad.
Yeah.
Sounds hilarious.
We definitely will.
I love it. She walks into Naked Attraction and does they've had work done. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that before. I
wanted to piggyback off you real quick. I watch Shrinking Weekly. And it's one of the rare shows that ends better than it started, quality-wise, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The second half of Shrinking is better than the first half.
It was exponential rise that whole season.
See, I only watched the first episode, and I told Dan, I was like, Dan, I tried out the first episode. I was like, oh, that's okay. Like, I mean, I guess I'll go back. But you guys talking about like that, I'm more interested now in finishing this out.
It gets a lot less kitschy and plucky and more heartfelt and grounded and like actually like genuinely excavate these people's personality and their inner going ons.
A little fearless. Yeah. Like, doesn't pull many punches. And I got to give shout out to my buddy, Andrew Zexter, who I'm normally the one who's recommending shows to other people. And he recommended this one to me. So,
I got you. Okay, cool. Yeah. Great pick. I love Shrinkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we'll do a quick little check-in through three of five rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brandy had the first pick. So in round one, Brandy went with Succession as a best and then Dead to Me as a best. Mm-hmm. And then her third pick was Vanderpump Rules as a favorite. With the second pick, Christian went with The Bear season two as a best. He then selected Beef as a best and then How to with John Wilson as a favorite. Hell of a lineup. Very covetous of that list. Darren with the third pick went with Jury Duty as a best, followed up by The Curious Case of Natalia Grace, as a best. And then her third pick was Silo. Excellent pick.
Just the depression in your voice. And then Silo, motherfucker.
With the fourth pick, I went with The Last of Us as a best, followed by The Traitors in a favorite, and then Shrinking. Also, I chose it as a favorite, but in real time, I'm going to change that to a best.
Okay,
That to a best. That gives me a little bit of room to do one of each here at the end. So what? And now entering the fourth round, the 13th pick of the TV BFFs 2023 draft. What am I going to do? Okay. The problem is after this, I only have one left. So I'm trying to figure out whatever I choose here. I'm losing with one open slot. I'm going to choose here's what I'm going to do. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose a show that is as much for the season itself, but also a little bit of a large part of my year, as I mentioned, was watching old school Survivor seasons. And one of the reasons that I started doing that was after season 44, I was like, there's been 44. Let me go watch the best 22. And I've been on that journey. I'm going to go ahead and choose Survivor season 44.
Nice.
Okay.
Really because of the Tika 3. I don't want to spoil the season if you haven't seen it, but I love those three. I love the winner. I loved Carolyn, who went very, very far. This season was the best of the new school, I think, by far, in a way, the best of the five new school seasons we've gotten so far. I think about it a lot. I think about those castmates a lot. I'm going with Survivor. Got to do it.
Great reality show. Great choice. Reason it's been on for 45 seasons.
And that's going to be a favorite. That's going to be a fave.
That's awesome. A great choice. I love that season. I first love how queer it is.
Yeah.
That was a welcome respite from, the athletic white dudes of the past. And it's cool that...
Or the time they did the race war one on Survivor.
Unfortunately,
one of the best seasons.
Yeah.
That's why we have poverty. Because of that season.
Yeah. Great fucking season.
But I'm just saying, would that have happened today?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, now with the CBS mandate of mm-hmm. people of color must account for at least half of a reality cast. You don't need to do that stunt formatted anymore. Right. It's just baked in, which is nice. Right.
Yeah. I mean, they could have just had diverse casts from the beginning, but love that season. Love the cast. I think it's the best of the new. I love this current season as well, but great pick.
I'm enjoying it, but it's a little expected in these, in the middle. It kind of sagged in the middle, this most recent. All right, so now, Darren, you're up next.
Okay, I am between a few here, but got a couple reality. I've got a couple doc. I've chose a true crime one. I know it doesn't matter about genre, but the show that I think is a great fucking show, and it's unscripted, but really more doc. And I actually think it helps a lot of people. And I think there's not another show like that is Couples Therapy on Showtime. One of my favorite shows. I love watching it. I always learn from it. Makes me feel like less of a weirdo when I find out these other people are either have similar issues or worse issues, let's be frank. So that makes me feel better. But just the way that she is as a therapist, I've really been curious about it. I think it's really well done. It's done with respect and... hopefully it encourages people to take care of their mental health and go to see therapists more. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be on a favorite for me, Dan.
It's a good choice.
With Shrinking, Survivor 44, and some of that cast and all Couples Therapy, we're in our therapy corner.
We're in our therapy corner. Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Good pick.
Definitely 32. Yeah. That's a great pick though. I think I was traveling to Tanzania last year. And on the way back, they had, I just watched a bunch of season two. And I don't know, like you're making me want to go back to it again because I want to see how those people are doing. But there's a catharsis in knowing, or more a schadenfreude in knowing, to your point, that, you know, everyone's as fucked up or worse as you are. And, you know, it's cool to see them rectify their shit and, you know,
have resolution.
Have resolution. Exactly.
Yeah.
She
said something this last season that was like to this couple. I think it was the most recent season, which I believe is season three that came out this year. But she says something to this couple like, you have to genuinely care about the other person in order for this to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like a light bulb went off in the room, you know, and for me, I'm like, you don't think about it, but like you actually genuinely have to care about the other person. Otherwise, mm-hmm. It's like, do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Mm-hmm. You know, and Brandy, since you are right and married, I'm sure that you can relate to this.
Yeah.
But it's just really well done. So, yeah.
That's excellent. Christian, back up to you. The fourth pick.
Fourth pick. Do I stay track or do I get sexy with it?
Ooh.
Obviously, get sexy with it.
Sexy.
Yes.
By sexy, it's just niche. And I don't think people have seen it. I'm going to go, because I need people to watch this show, with Blue Eye Samurai on Netflix. I don't
never
know.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah.
What's he put? Blue-Eyed Samurai?
Okay. I've heard this title now a dozen times in the last 3 weeks. And I need you to pitch me on it, Christian, because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, pitch us.
For sure. Okay. People are turned off by anime. I'm one of those people. Anime heads scare me. Like when they're like, you gotta watch 800 episodes of blah 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 blah. Now I'm like, why are you yelling at me? Please stop. But this show is technically not an anime. It was animated in Canada and the US.
Okay.
By a bunch of like really heralded writers. I believe like the writer of Logan, the Wolverine movie,
was
head writer of this show. And essentially it's animated, it's Western. It's kind of like a Ronin tale of a woman set out for revenge. It's set in feudal Japan, I believe, on the precipice of like an imperialist colonist takeover from the whites of Europe. And this woman happens to be half Japanese and half white. And she's pretty much orphaned by the time that the show starts. And she teams up with this blind sword maker who teaches her how to make swords. And through him and all the customers he gets, she learns how to be like the most feared samurai in all of Japan, basically. And her one mission is to find the white person who allegedly raped her mother and kill him. So she needs to kill her father. And the whole 8-episode, it's a tight 45 or hour. And it's lean. It's beautiful. And honestly, some of the best action I've seen live or animated in years.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
What network is it on?
This is on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. Mm. It immediately got greenlit for season two, which we all know is a hard thing to come by these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is fantastic. It'll make you cry. And it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's just like so heartfelt. The characters are so lived in, and it's a relatable tale of, you know, just trying to get what's yours. So I can't recommend it enough. It's one of, I literally just saw it last month and I was like, this is one of the best things I've seen all year, but I will label that my favorite pick.
Favorite. What a great. Yeah. Love that.
I love learning something new. Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Christian, it's so funny. I was listening to Joe and Mel on House of R.
Yeah.
Listen to them as well. And they mentioned a Blue-Eyed Samurai moment in one of their like 10 moments of the year.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really fucking hope Christian brings us on the podcast.
Hell yeah.
I really did.
You know me. You've known me well over the years. You have to know me, bro. I swear to God, if you guys watch the first episode, you're in. So give me that at least one episode. People at home listening, one episode. Blue-Eyed Samurai.
Great pitch. I'm in.
Thank you.
I'm going to check it out. It's on the list. On the list.
I do this for a living.
Yeah. All right. So, Brandy, to you for your last two picks, picks number 4 and 5. So this will round out your list. You have, let's just double check here. You have a favorite.
I need another
best. So you need one, at least one more favorite, and then the other one's up to you.
Well, I just found out one of the shows that was going to be on my list is actually premiered in 2022, but I actually didn't watch it until 2023.
What was classic Brandy. I love it.
Better Things.
Pamela Adlon.
Pamela Adlon.
That's my girl.
Okay. This is actually kind of tough because I actually have some good, I still have like some solid like choices that I love as a favorite on my list. But yeah, so, but what I'm going to tell you guys what I'm between for these two shows, and I'm going to pick what the show is. I'm between for my favorite shows, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
That's on my list.
And Big Mouth.
Oh, wow. That was also on my list.
That's so, these two choices together are so Brandy core. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Tiebrow, lowbrow.
But, you know, I think that I'm going to go with Big Mouth. Just because, that show is, it's just smart. The jokes per minute are, per second, are amazing. Mm-hmm. The fact that it just is so genre bending and just everywhere and everything all at once is amazing. George Santos sounds exactly like Lola. And Nick Kroll did an impression on his Instagram where he was replying to him, and that was amazing. But just the way that they I just think that that show's so good, and it's just always been so good. It's never suffered from. And I think it's on the newest season, season 6 or 7.
Yeah, I mean, Brad, it's reliably on your recent BFFs. You always pick it if it's been on.
Yeah.
It's so smart. Yeah. It's so smart. And it's such way to it's an adult way to really tackle that awkward time. But anything Maya Rudolph does and her as the hormone monster, it's just it's so good. It's so good.
She does not miss that woman. She does not miss.
I love her as the hormone monster. I love the Shame Wizard is one of my favorites. But I feel like what I love is I love that Big Mouth is about being 12 years old is really something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they capture every single little piece of it. And I would love to be a fly on the wall in that writer's room because how are you not just laughing?
Yeah.
Just constantly laughing. I feel like my stomach would be hurting from just laughing so much.
True.
I love this. Good pick. I
love it. Great pick.
We moved from Therapy Corner to the animation station.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Final round. Last four picks. Wait, so are we all at two best, two faves right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe we are. So I believe we can now just kind of do whatever the hell we want with our last picks. Brandy, you're up.
All right. I know that I said that I was really hot on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard as a favorite, but this other show, I really loved it. And every single time it comes back on, I really love it. So my final pick is Black Mirror.
Smart. Good one. That was on my long list for sure. Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched the most recent season, but I used Neither to really, really love it.
Oh,
so
this
clever.
Season really hit. There was one of the six or five? Five or six.
Selma Hayek episode one of them?
Uh-oh, I got
the Selma Hayek episode was great. That was Joan is Awful
was great. The one about the true crime
one was really good.
Hit close to home. Mm-hmm. You'll love that one, Darren. There's one there, it's a space, absolute brutal gut wrencher, which is really, really good. There's only one that wasn't very good. They're doing some new things.
Yeah. They were all completely different and lend themselves to great niche Halloween costumes. And we all know how much I love a niche Halloween costume.
So. Wait, so Brandy, quick mini favorite episode from the new season.
Favorite episode is probably Demon 79, 78, the one where the girl had to was with the demon played by Boney M, who I love from playing Just Dance and Dancing to Rasputin. And I think that was the best. Well, no. The best one was the true crime one.
Yes. I'm looking at the name right now. It was called
Lock Henry.
That's exactly right. That was the best one.
And then it's a tie for me with favorite with Joan is Awful and the Demon 79, I think.
I would probably go Beyond the Sea, the space one with Aaron Paul.
The space one was good, but I had some like logistical questions about that.
That one just absolutely gutted me. Like it was a best, but I don't want to watch it again. It's certainly not a favorite.
I will never watch it again. So sad.
Favorite would be either Locke Henry or Joan is Awful for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what headspace I'm in, but it's not a Black Mirror headspace.
Which is why,
like, you know what I mean?
You gotta be
in the right headspace for that.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's almost like misery porn to me at some point. And I wonder what I'm supposed to take from it. Granted, I haven't watched the last two seasons, but yeah, I'm just not with it right now. But maybe I'll get there again someday, especially I take all of your pick seriously, so it's good. It's good to have this list.
And what's nice is you don't need to like do the whole season. You can literally just pop in for one or two. And if you're like, yeah, still no, I'll see. You know.
And I feel like Joan is Awful would be a good one for you to come in on because that one feels very like classic Black Mirror, like technology gone wild and rogue.
Brandy, listen, all you had to say was Salma Hayek.
So. I knew ears would perk up.
Oh, yeah. Did you see my
eyebrows go? Yeah, you're like, oh, I'll watch it now.
I love it. Brady, it doesn't matter which, but did you put this as a best or a favorite?
Best.
You put it as a best. Nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Kristen, your last pick.
With my last pick, I will pick Bill Hader's masterpiece, Barry.
There it is. What a value at pick 18.
I know, with my last pick in the value. Yo, you watch my lineup. It's fire.
It really is. It is. It's the team that I wish I could have drafted a little bit.
I'm sorry. It's only luck that I got the two pick, man. I have to utilize it. But no, I've appreciated this draft because I'm not huge in the unscripted world. And, you know, you guys have opened my eyes to different parts of it. Even though, again, it's just in the water anyway. And I know all these niche storylines through osmosis. So it's like, I'm fascinated by the power of it. But anyway, I've loved the different diets and palates we've had. But back to Barry. Those were rough Sundays going from Succession to Barry. Back to back. I would just be like midnight and I would just stare at the dark TV screen after those. Those were heavy. But I was like, okay, Succession was dark. I was like, how is Bill Hader making an even darker show?
Yeah.
It really seems like during the pandemic, he descended into madness and he wanted to put the darkest parts of himself that, he is maybe wrestling with or explored onto the screen in a way. And I really feel for those actors, like the Sally actress, like she had to go to like a deep, dark fucking layered place where she was at one point, spoiler alert, was, you know, playing two different people. And it became so meta and it was like a beautiful dark maze that I couldn't get out of, but you know, wanted to leave, but couldn't stop looking at the maze walls, you know. And Bill Hader is a genius, and it is crazy that we're just seeing this side of him, and I am so pleasantly surprised that him, out of all people, has, you know, this part of his artistic mind that he wants to plop on us like an anvil. And I feel like it kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit because, like, while it was a weird TV year, it was also a great one.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And I like, you know, awards, we need them. But, you know, ultimately, they're not a direct rubric for what you put on the screen. I don't think it's going to get too many. It'll be nominated, but I don't think it's going to win anything. And I don't give a fuck because I'm so happy that it exists and I was able to watch it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been on Barry, that's the last season of the show, but definitely strap in and watch it. I wish I could watch it all again for the first time. So that would be my remaining best pick.
Great best pick. Darren, did you do Barry? Are you on that?
I never got into Barry, actually. It's actually on my list of ones that I just haven't gotten into yet because everyone that I respect, including you now, Christian, talks about how great that show is. Likewise. So I definitely want to thank you. I definitely want to check it out now.
I think it's very much your sensibility. I think you'll dig it a lot.
Yeah, I think so. And I like Bill Hader. It seems like kind of up my alley, like a hitman type of thing. So
yeah.
I'm in.
It's so much more.
And clever. Yeah, no, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
So Darren, that leaves you with your final pick here.
Yeah, so I had a couple contenders. Big Brother is always going to be a contender for me. Obviously, The Challenge is just so good. Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, shout out to, like, I think one of the better new reality shows. I think Real Time with Bill Maher has been on point this year, unlike more than other years.
I hate that band.
All that mutual respect just filtering out.
I know.
Might be. Depends on your subject matter, but for things that I have been paying attention to, he's been on point, unlike other talk show hosts. I will say that. But the last choice that I have, I was between two actual true crime-ish docs. The one that I was going, my runner-up for this last pick was going to be the Casey Anthony doc, which came out on Peacock earlier this year. A lot of controversy with that, but I think it opened up a new side to Casey Anthony that no one had ever seen. In fact, I'm convinced she's not guilty of that crime after watching it, which I wasn't before.
We like
my,
that.
My sister felt differently. That's crazy.
She's not innocent, but she's not guilty.
Okay.
I'll leave that to the people. But the last doc that I'm going to choose is Shiny Happy People on Amazon Prime, which is about the Duggars. If you remember, 19 Kids and Counting. I can't say their name without saying the Duggars, because that's how my girlfriend says it. But this was, I can't remember how many episodes this was. I want to say it was like six or something like that. Mm-hmm. Sort of about how, you know, they were in this deeply religious cult, if you will, this like super fanatic kind of, you know, Christian wing of this arm, and raising people up in politicians to kind of be just like them. And sort of their solution is to create more of these people. Hence the reason that they, I think it was the Church of Life Beginnings or something like that.
Something. Yeah.
It came out.
They always have the creepiest names.
It's always that. It's always that.
It's
always that. And it's always like, you know, I got to have sex with underage girls. Like, it's always that, like, those two things qualifies a cult is like having sex with underage girls and a weird name. This is kind of no different. And as someone who is not into organized religion, it validates the reasons that I am not. I will say that. But it's a really, really well done doc called Shiny Happy People.
Right. Awesome. So because it's a world you want to live in, it's a favorite for you.
Yeah. It's I could watch it over and over and over again. It should be forever. I'm probably going to put it as best just because I thought it was very well done. And they got kind of Duggar children to talk about what went down. And so that was very cool, and how TV affects us all. So
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Give it a
happy
roll.
Shiny people.
Shiny happy people.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm in my cult bag as of late. So
you'll enjoy this because we were alive during 19 Kids and Counting. You know, we saw this on fucking television, so it's reality of a reality. Yeah.
How about that? Okay. Cool. Respect. What a weird story, by the way. Yikes.
Yeah. Weird story.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Love a weird story.
Okay, I'm in the position of the last pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Last show.
I have an embarrassment of riches to choose from. I'm going to do some of my almost shows now. I'm just going to kind of run through them quick because there's a lot that could still be in contention here. I love the second season of 100 Foot Wave on HBO. Some of the best nonfiction programming I've seen.
Oh, that was my get high and watch show.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
Something you should not get high and watch is The Curse. Fascinating. Holy fuck. Nathan Fielder has done it again.
It's so... Man.
You guys, you know how much I love Nathan Fielder.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. I know. I don't know how I feel.
I like it for two reasons. One, Emma Stone is
she's great,
unimpeachable. And two, just watching Nathan Fielder and Benny Safdie write something about the making of unscripted HGTV shows just really hits me as a developer in ways that I can't quite explain. So The Curse was up there. Dave, season three. I'm shocked none of us here mentioned
this. Oh my God. That's one. See, I knew something. That's something that I felt. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That should have been on my list.
I think last time I was on the show, Brandy, you were the one to pitch me on Dave.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. So, okay. I got
to
watch it.
That's shocking to me.
Fun fact about Dave. You probably know this, Dan, because were you both at my mom's fundraiser?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, yeah. So Niles. He performed at the show.
Yeah.
Staff writer for Dave season three. He wrote the Met episode.
Oh.
That was his baby. Yeah.
That's
so
incredible.
Luckily I got that man to work with on this film coming up. But just want to give a shout out to Niles Abston for being a genius.
Have you said the name of your project yet, Christian?
Yes. I believe I have, but for
say it again. Not,
98 Honda.
Look out for that. 98
Honda. Yeah. Yes. It's coming. I it looks good. Yeah. Anyway, so
mine was an 88.
Oh, I had no six Accord.
Yeah, an 88 Accord.
Oh man,
There you go.
Some other Fargo is killing it right now, but it's not done yet. Paul T. Goldman was the weirdest thing I saw all year, and I loved it. That was super strange and interesting on Peacock. Telemarketer, similarly, one of the weirder, more incredible, fucked up things.
That was so tough.
That was tough watch.
Benny Safdie's having the
year.
Yeah, what a year. Oppenheimer, fucking The Curse. Fucking
But also, I will say that I went into Telemarketers being like, oh, Danny McBride and Benny and the Safdie brothers. Oh, awesome. This is going to be hilarious.
And then you were just staring at the screen afterwards.
And I was like, oh my God.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's like, more addicts. Yeah. Trust no one. I hate everything.
Welcome to Wrexham is a great doc that just feels really warm and I love watching as well. But we can't get off this Zoom without mentioning the just hysterics and craziness that is The Morning Show season 3, and the fact that that has been nominated for so many friggin' awards.
Motherfucker.
Is a little mind-blowing.
It's such a Hollywood circle jerk.
It's the best PR campaign
ever
for awards that I've seen. Like, it's
fucking Apple, man. Apple. They got the money to just
people. And award shows want A-list celebrities in attendance, so they're gonna nominate the whole freaking show. But I had a blast watching it, though. Like, it's not good, but I had an absolute blast watching
Morning Show season 3 made me physically ill, but I just it's like I don't know, moldy bread that you're trying to pick the mold out of, but it's all moldy.
Yeah,
but you're still trying to salvage some of the edible parts. That's how I felt watching that fucking show. Also, the nerve of them to cast John Hamm as Elon Musk. Fuck out of here. That show is a trash fire, and I'm gonna watch every episode next season too.
Of course.
Absolutely. You have to.
Of course. It's like Sex and the City. It's not good or just like that, but I'm watching every episode.
It didn't occur to me to even put that anywhere on my list, but love kind of almost watched them. What did I watch them live?
Maybe.
And then so that leaves you with my pick.
Yeah,
there's a couple other honorable mentions that we'll hit on real quick after. But my pick will be, and it's the show that I recommend all of the time. I still think it's underwatched. I've sung its praises in the 2 seasons previous to this, the 3rd and final season. That show is Reservation Dogs.
Nice. Yep.
I love that show so much.
It's on my list.
If you've listened to this show, you've heard me talk about it a ton. So I'll keep it brief. But it's warm. It's a picture of a community. It's just a picture of humanity. It's a picture of adolescence, but also aging and how those two things talk to each other. A gorgeous, gorgeous show that I think ended perfectly. And everyone should watch Reservation Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
I loved the second season a lot more, even though I'm trying to get out of the habit of like directly comparing things like in that way.
Right.
But you know, the denouement of the third season was fucking awesome. And
yeah,
I love those guys. And you know, I believe it's set in Tulsa, right? Oklahoma? Or is it Oklahoma City?
Oh, it's in Oklahoma. The town is like Okern. I don't know if it's real or fictional, but it's somewhere in Oklahoma.
Copy. Yeah. And I have a college roommate that lives in Tulsa and is from Tulsa. So I've been to Oklahoma a few many times. And it was really cool to see that side. And, you know, there's just no native stories out there like this.
No.
So Alan Harjo and Taika Waititi are doing like a great service to opening that world to people.
Yeah. And I'm blanking on her name. I'm going to pull up real quick because I want to mention her specifically. She was an actress on the show, Devery Jacobs, who ended up co-writing an episode with one of the best with Ethan Hawke episode this year. I can't remember if she's directing yet, but feels like she will be very soon. Like, she is just an absolute star in the making. So
she's
like
a delight
for her.
That episode, I watched it twice, and it made me rewatch Boyhood recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made me finish finally the Before series. I think it's Before Sunset, the 3rd one. Yeah. So I've just been Ethan Hawke pilled hard. He's one of our country's finest, man.
Truly.
He's like the last remnant of some sort of era of like earnest, genuine, yet transformative performances. So I fucking loved that episode. Good pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So in real quick succession, our collective top 20 of the year, our best and favorite 20 shows are Succession, The Bear, Jury Duty, The Last of Us, The Traitors, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace, Beef, Dead to Me, Vanderpump Rules, How to a John Wilson, Silo, Shrinking, Survivor 44, Couples Therapy, Blue-Eyed Samurai, Big Mouth, Black Mirror, Barry, Shiny Happy People, and Reservation Dogs.
Great list. That's a great list.
That's a phenomenal eclectic list. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Y'all got good taste. And I like, I love that. I've been looking for new stuff because I feel like I've watched everything and I have not.
Yeah. What else was close? We didn't mention the challenge Ride or Dies, which is probably the best challenge season of the last 3 or 4 years. Awesome. High in my honorable mentions. Great mm-hmm. season.
Yeah.
Best, one of the best finals we've seen in a while.
Challenge USA was up there for me. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually like Love Island this season. I thought it had a lot of good. I liked Perfect Match. I thought that was a good format to repurpose old.
We had a lot of fun watching Perfect Match this year.
You know,
year,
Netflix Darren. That stuff was good. That was fun. We had a good time. So yeah.
I also watched season 10 of Love Island. It was my second season ever. So I watched every episode to the point where I was like going through the dark web, watching them live as they aired. Yeah,
that's dark web shit. That's
yeah, for sure. Someone sent me a link, and I was like, "Oh wow, I'm in." so I fuck with that. I loved Invincible.
Back. That's right.
Yeah, just premiered the first 4 episodes. Great show. And I also loved Gen V, the boys spinoff.
I didn't catch that yet.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's on Amazon. Are you guys familiar with the boys?
I like the boys a lot.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. You'll love Gen V. And
it's gonna tie in too, right? Like it's a spin-off.
There's tie in. But the creators made a concerted effort to make them both standalone series.
Cool.
So if you watch Gen V, you don't have to know. You don't have to watch The Boys. But if you have watched The Boys, there's tons of awesome things in there for you too.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I liked Hijack on Apple TV, I think it was, with Idris.
That was a fun
It was fun. It was like a good six episodes. I heard it was thriller.
Giving like 24 energy, like a real time, like TikTok of a show, kind of.
Yeah.
I think that's it's a great summation. I mean, listen, put Idris Elba up anywhere. We're all going to watch it.
We're all going to do that.
Christian, how high was Lessons in Chemistry on your list, my man?
So the first 3 episodes, I loved. Tried to get Mr. Mans to watch. And I watched the whole series.
The dog episode, though, Christian.
It threw me too, Darren.
I'm so sorry. I loved it. And I want to give a shout out.
It had no point in being there, Christian.
I want, there is no, that is not true.
I believe it
served a perspective because Brie Larson isn't very emotive or forthcoming. But I loved that his inner dialogue, the dog kind of, you know, gave you another perspective. All right, Bill Maher.
Anyway. You're saving yourself.
Fuck out of here.
You're saving yourself. Thank you for the compliment. Thank you. Take that.
I love it. What else? Brandy, we had a lot of fun watching Top Chef World All Stars. We had fun.
Top Chef was good. Also on my list was the other two.
Great show.
Nice.
Loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really enjoyed Beckham.
Nadine loved that.
A lot of people loved Beckham.
It was just it was easy to watch. And I was like, I mean, I'm sure this is all propaganda, but okay. I'll buy it.
Okay, cool. I'm with it. They've been through some shit, man.
I didn't realize that they started dating like so young.
They've been together forever.
I was like, that was okay. So I guess that was like kind of real. And I didn't realize what kind of a celebrity he was. He's like super hot. And I remember like seeing him on magazines and stuff, but like, I didn't really understand how people felt about him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. So, I have to finish that series. I do have to go, guys. I'm so sorry soon. But, because you guys want to do...
Can we do Rapid Fire Worship?
Oh, yeah, Rapid Fire Worship.
For sure, yeah, exactly.
Darren and Brandy, you have an idea. Pitch your idea for how to... We'll do our lightning round.
Can we choose our least favorite show of 2023?
Honestly, I have a list of my biggest disappointments.
Yeah, like, what's the worst show that you'll never recommend anyone to watch?
Yeah.
Here are my top two that I would never recommend and you should never watch. The Consultant on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And The Idol on Max.
I had so much fun not watching a minute of The Idol, but reading the recaps and like stuff.
Shocked.
that was such a nauseating experience.
It sucked, and I hate watching.
I felt bad for like a couple days after watching those episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, as a person,
stuff like being a woman. It was just like, and I hate The Weeknd now. I like, can't see him as any other thing. I can't see him as any other way. Anyway,
let's call this our worst and least favorite. Least favorite, I mentioned earlier, Escaping Twin Flames, just made me so mad, and I hated it, and I hate that they didn't get access to the actual people, so they're just like, oh, we reached out for comment, and nope, and they're still operating, and whatever, and just so anti-trans and terrible and awful, and it made my skin crawl, and I couldn't stand it. That's a least favorite. And the worst thing I saw all year, Christian, you might be on board with this, is Secret Invasion. The absolute worst Marvel travesty of all Marvel travesties.
Look at my face. I forgot the show even came out. I feel like I saw a ghost. I fucking hated that show.
And you finally all feel about Marvel the way that I do, which is...
Honestly, Darren, that's what Secret Invasion did. It made everybody feel about Marvel the way you feel about Marvel. Truly.
Yes.
Thank you, Marvel.
I was like, maybe we're all fucking stupid for watching this shit. That's how I felt. I was like, I'm an idiot.
AI generated fucking show opens. It was just all the bad. Thing. All the bad shit.
God, I hated that show. Great pick.
My least favorite show of the year, and I was like so excited about it because like I love the books like so much, but it was AMC's Mayfair Witches. That was a world that like I was very excited to see brought to life because I loved like the books are wild.
Yeah.
they're absolutely ridiculous, and they only get more ridiculous as you go along. It's like it starts from a place of like absolutely insane and just like keeps building. But I just felt like the show, I was like, I didn't love the casting. It's like when you're with a book that you really love and characters that you really love and that I know who they are in my head, and it's like I should have been helping you guys. That's not Lasher.
Yeah.
That's not Rowan Mayfair. Like, what are you doing? Rowan is gone. Anne Rice was like a formative piece of like my like teenage dumb. You know what I mean?
To you. Yes, of course.
So it's like, it's hard. I have a hard time with like her, her adaptations, and also like the same way I have a problem with like Stephen King's adaptations.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause like, I love those books.
Christian, what was the bottom of your barrel?
I had to think about this a little bit because, you know, there's some bad shit. I hated the Night Agent. That's what it was.
That's the number one most watched things on Netflix.
And how indicative of the poor decisions that our country continues to make in all facets of life.
100%. Oh my God.
I hate it.
Those are global hours, not just our country.
Yeah,
I know. That's what I'm saying, but still.
All right, we all need Jesus then, because God damn, Netflix has cornered this, like, you know, pulpy, political thriller, like, sphere of their programming, and it's all fucking mid. And I feel like The Night Agent, week after week, I'd see it in top one, top two, whatever. And it's just, it's worse than bad. It's mediocre.
I believe it.
Which is to me a lot more insulting.
Just forgettable. Yeah,
forgettable. Exactly. But it's like a disease that's taking over Netflix and it's taking charge. So yeah, I hate
like Emily in Paris. Show. Yeah.
Oh, Emily in Paris. You mean Emmy nominated Emily in Paris?
That's the thing. All these motherfuckers are getting Emmy nominations now.
Yeah. Last year they got nominated for an Emmy.
For what? For costume design?
No, dude, for like best comedy show or some shit.
I'm not confident they care that much about the industry. I don't think they
As far as that, it's not so much the show as what it represents for me.
So I get that.
Yeah, that's kind of my worst pick and my critique on that genre.
Yeah,
all good picks, guys.
Yeah. Well, I like that we enter talking about the labor strikes and very much fuck the streamers and the corporations. We end with Netflix. Thank you for your annual report.
Thank you so much.
Your most watched show. We can go ahead and fuck yourself.
Amazing.
Friends, this was incredible.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys so much.
Christian, you're my boy now.
Yeah, let's be Instagram friends, please.
Would love it.
Yes. We gotta get Darren in the TV Watch Club, whatever you're doing.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
So that's a wrap for us for this year. Until next time, until next year. Bye, friends.
Bye. Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
Oh, you've arrived here.